This is Shamir Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. And if you haven't already, be sure to pick up your free photography business bundle at prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle. It's 4 weeks of helpful free gifts delivered every 7 days directly to your email inbox. The first thing you'll get is the PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. And believe me, I've made quite a few of these mistakes myself. After that, you'll get a new free gift every week that will help you propel your photography business forward. So head on over to prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle and get yours today. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews I get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. And I want to reach as many people as possible. So again, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the interview. Hey everybody, I'm here hanging with photographer, speaker, and coach Jeffrey Shaw. Jeffrey, thank you so much for just hanging out with us today.
Thank you, Shamir. I'm pleased to be here.
And, you know, just to give our listening audience a little bit of background, I first heard your story on Entrepreneur on Fire. And as you were talking to John Lee Dumas, I just got so excited, especially when you said you were a photographer. Combined with your business and marketing experience, I was like, oh, I have to get this guy on the show. So I'm just so excited for our chat today.
Oh, terrific. Well, thank you. That's nice to hear.
Awesome. Well, first, let's give our listening audience, for those who may not know about you, an overview of yourself and your background and how you ended up where you are today.
Sure. Well, let's kind of reverse engineer this. So where I am today is I am still shooting. It seems to be the question in most photographers or when I'm being interviewed by a photographer podcast, like the first thing I want to know is, are you still shooting? because what I'm putting out in the world is a lot of my coaching experience and business aspects. So I am still shooting, certainly not to the degree that I used to by my own accord. I mean, I've scaled back my photography business so that I could create room for my coaching practice, which has been quickly developing over the last few years. I've always had unbelievable amount of control over my photography business. I've always done in volume and in sales pretty much exactly what I wanted to do at every stage in my business. So right there, I think is something for people to know. I think you can have a lot more control over your business than you think. So, you know, you can pull the levers, and I've pulled the lever back on my photography business in the last 4 years so that I could ramp up the lever for my coaching practice. How I got here, I went into business as a 20-year-old more than 30 years ago. Right out of photography school, I went to the Hallmark Institute of Photography, which honestly, I enrolled in the 10th month program, not being convinced this was a viable career because I really wanted to be an architect because I thought Mike Brady was really cool. And I thought, yeah, he worked at home. He had a cool office. Like, this is good. So I wanted to be an architect until I found out how much education it required. And I'm such a bum in that way. It's like, there's no way I'm going to go to school for 4 years, 6 years, or whatever it would take. So I'll do this photography thing for a year and see if it's legit. So, but boy, what a transformation. And within the 10 months, I felt enough confidence to actually go into business. So I rented a studio space prior to even graduating from Hallmark.
Wow.
So I slipped right into business, hit all the challenges and all the obstacles that anyone could hit. Within 2 years, realized that I was not in the right marketplace because I had returned back to my hometown, which was a really small remote town. And it was never going to happen there in the way that I wanted it to. So I recreated my business, relaunched it again in Connecticut in a much better situation. And, you know, it honestly took off with a lot of peaks and valleys over the years as business does. And then, but, you know, for a good part of my career, I had a business coach. So when he retired, I thought, gosh, I should become a coach and do for others what he did for me. So I went to coach training, got all the knowledge and information, didn't apply it for the first couple of years. But then within the last 4 or 5 years, I've really ramped up, kind of, you know, just really coming to terms with how I can help and how jazzed I get about business. So that brings me to today. And I'll be shooting for a couple more years. I'm honest with myself, but I'm trying to transition out of photography in a very conscious way because it's been my life and my identity, and it's been so important to me that I want to do it in a very conscious way and be very aware of the moments and the relationships that I've had and gratitude. But when the time is right, and I don't know exactly when that is, but I suspect it will be within the next year or two that I will kind of phase out.
And so who do you mainly coach these days? Is it mainly photographers or creatives in general?
It is, you know, I could say creatives, but not everyone is even in a traditional creative field. I have a podcast of my own called Creative Warriors. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting naming that. I named it that because of what it takes to be in business. When you are your brand, like, it takes nothing less than the spirit of a warrior to have the guts to even do this. Like, that's a certain act of bravery. And I've been a yoga practitioner for 15 years, and the yoga pose, the warrior, kind of represents that core strength and wide stance to me. So that's where the name came from. And what I didn't expect is that so many people would relate to what that meant, because it was a completely made up name. What I realized is that it's hard to define the people that I serve, because they're certainly not all photographers. They're not even all in traditional creative businesses. I coach many coaches. I coach public speakers and event planners. So they don't necessarily identify themselves as creatives. So what seems to tie them all together is that they are their own brand. And what they're marketing, they're usually businesses of one to maybe five people, usually one to three people in between there. So there's very micro businesses, and their talent is their product. And that is, I believe, what I understand better than most, that when you're in business and what you're marketing is your talent and your talent is your product, that just trips the mind up in so many ways. And that is the issue I believe that I help people get through, so that they are able to create really successful businesses.
Thank you so much for helping people with that. I think we need more people like you. I remember going through art school and I loved it. I mean, if I could have been a lifelong student, I probably would have been. And a big part of that was because I was able to focus on painting and photography and sculpture and 3D modeling. But I recall that there was very little in the way of business and marketing training, and even the kind of coaching that helps you think about the type of lifestyle that you want and the type of brand that you want to be. And for me personally, I ended up getting out in the world and learning the hard way, which that tends to be what I do. I learn the hard way and kind of stumble around. But that's so many people, not just artists and photographers and creatives, but really that's probably everyone, especially if you're a smaller business, one-man show, struggling to find your way.
Right. So I tend to coach people. Another way of saying it, which you kind of just clarified for me, I tend to coach people who are in industries where business training doesn't exist for their trade. Mm. So what happens is they get out of their chosen field, whether it's photography or coaching or whatever they've received training in, either formally or informally. And when no business training exists, what they do is they look at how everybody else is doing business and tries to emulate that. The fact of the matter is, when you're selling your talent, you're selling something that essentially is intangible. Even if what you create is tangible, like a photograph, you're actually not marketing the tangible photograph. You're marketing yourself, your brand image, and the experience, all the intangible elements of it. So trying to look towards businesses that are selling products and services and commodities and groceries and retail, looking towards those businesses for examples on how to market yourself when you're your brand is actually completely backwards. And that's where the struggle comes from. So that my coaching process, I really help to unwind from that. And the most critical thing is to see the differences between how you need to be in business when you are your brand and how the rest of the world does business. Like, you first have to, the distinction between those businesses first has to become clear, so that you can realize, oh, I've been following the wrong example.
Mm-hmm. And from the way you're talking, it sounds like this is something you realized early on when you first started your own photography business.
Great. You know, it's a great question, because honestly, at 20 years old or 22, 23 years old, I wasn't conscious of it. You know, and I'm so blessed for the fact that there was something innate in me. And I actually think it comes from having had a background of being a shy individual, that one thing I knew, I wasn't comfortable in the world. And when you're not comfortable in the world, you don't trust the outside world. The only thing I trusted was my gut, right? So because of that, I think I innately built a business that was completely on my gut instincts. It didn't make sense to anybody else. And it really didn't. I mean, I was this young photographer moving my business anyway into a really affluent town in Connecticut. There were other photographers there. They all did things a certain way. And I'm thinking, to me, they're doing everything backwards. Like, I'll do it my way. And I had the guts to listen to my instinct. The result of that was I had a really successful business really quickly. But I wasn't conscious of what I was doing as much as until I got older. And then really when I went through coach training and I built a coaching practice, it was in doing that that I learned I became conscious of what I did right, even as a 20-year-old when I didn't know. So now I just, for myself and for other people, I replicate what goes right, what went right even then, even if I wasn't really conscious of it at the time.
Interesting. And tell us, what area or areas of photography do you call your expertise?
I have always, as a photographer, somebody asked me recently whether I felt I had a niche business, because I'm actually quite opposed as a creative individual. I actually despise the whole idea of having a niche business. And I know it's very common told that because I think it needs to be redefined. Most people define having a niche business as, find the one thing you can do or the one target market or both and do that, because that's the only way you can get successful. And that's so incredibly challenging and is not fulfilling for the creative mind. So when somebody asked me recently, did I consider that I had a niche business as a photographer? One could say I did. I photograph, and still do for 30 years, I photograph families and children on location, primarily in color. Right. Okay. I mean, it doesn't get much more narrow, but I was successful not because I did something so specific. I was successful because I made it very clear about the one thing I was good at. Like, I was very clear to this day. I'm very clear on why people would come to me for photography. I don't have a lot of people asking me for digital files and things like that. And when they do, I kind of look at, tilted head, like, why? Like, why would you? There's nothing in my image, brand, website, nothing anywhere that would in any way indicate that that's my strength or why you would come to me. Because my voice is very clear. What I do and how I can serve is very clear. So it's not so much that you have to have a narrow business, but that you need to be clear and have a big voice in what it is that you do. So my area especially, as I said, has been families and children on location, and still is.
Oh, this is so interesting. Okay, this kind of is a good segue into my next question. As far as what makes a good photo stand out from an average photo, in your opinion, and also I'm going to add a second part to this question, what made you stand out against the other photographers in Connecticut at that time?
All right, I'm going to answer the second question first.
Okay.
I actually wasn't comparing myself to photographers. When I entered this market, what I noticed is that these were families, and again, this is going back 30 years ago. So mm-hmm. The families in this market area, they tended to be hiring portrait painters and spending a lot of money to have people paint the portrait. And I knew I was capable of creating very beautiful environmental style portraits through photography, which would not only be a better likeness of their family or their child, but also offer, more opportunities. And so I actually looked at it as a painterly model. I just kind of disregarded, the photographers in that area were very general studios, shooting a lot in the studio, not updating their storefront windows, just really looking dated. Mm-hmm. And, here I was in this area that had beautiful homes and lovely landscaping, and no one was using that as the backdrop, which seemed really peculiar to me. So I focused on sort of a painterly model. I didn't have an exorbitantly high session fee, but made it very clear that the portraits they were going to choose were going to be an investment, and that they would be done in a way of such high quality that they would stand up and be hung against the finest of artwork that they have in their home. And that included following through with framing, like choosing the frame for the portraits that any designer that they would work with to decorate their home would approve of. Mm-hmm. Right? So as far as the type of photography or what makes a good photograph, it's subjective, and it's one of the challenging things in our industry is that quality of photography does not necessarily relate to level of success, right? I mean, I will be the first to say I don't think I am the best photographer, because that's completely subjective. There are plenty of photographers whose work I look at with envy. Think, oh gosh, it's so beautiful. But what I'm super confident in is that I am the best photographer for my type of client, right? Not just because the photography I create is perfectly aligned with their values. My photography is very clean. My style is straightforward. I tend to like a lot of eye contact, because I know the values of my clients. My clients want something created for them that is going to stand up over time. They mm-hmm. don't want anything too trendy or too gimmicky. And I do produce large-scale portraits they hang in their home, in their very prominent formal living rooms and hallways. So it's important that it be not just timeless, but that it have a style and quality level that's really elevated. So my lighting is crisp. My eye contact is crisp. There's The mood is created, I think, through subtle body language, a tilt of the head, mm-hmm. a leaning of a child on a mom, but not overly candid. So it's aligned with what really means something to your clients and what they value. That, to me, is what makes a stunning photograph. It's because whether it's the most beautiful photograph or not is completely subjective. Now, when I go to a session and what I'm looking for more than anything is lighting, because to me, lighting is everything. You can have the simplest, most boring of backgrounds, but the lighting can be absolutely magical. But you can never have the reverse. You can't have a dramatically beautiful background and terrible lighting. That will never work. So to me, lighting always leads the way in what most evokes a mood. So I look for that first.
Excellent. And can you briefly give us a description of what your post-process workflow is like? I know you mentioned that you keep your work clean and crisp.
Mm-hmm. I do. So, and I shoot very minimally. I mean, I shoot all natural light. At the most, I'll have a little bit of a flash fill, you know, off camera, just to pop a little light in the eyes, which I only did when the industry went digital, because I just felt like one thing that was lost was the white of the eyes. So I wanted a white balanced light to pop into the eyes a little bit. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I use all natural light, very simple, you know, but I do shoot entirely on a tripod, because I like to have my hands and my body free, because I'm physically active when I'm photographing. I love to run up and tickle kids. I like to be able to fix hair if I need to, and I don't like to be bound by having equipment on me at all. So I do shoot on tripod. And then post-process, again, I try – my focus is on what I can create, not what I do, right? Mm-hmm. All of us as photographers and artists, we get paid for what we create, not for what we do. So – I do everything I can in my power and my business to create a post-process workflow that keeps me in the space of being able to be creative in shooting. So after a session, I come home, I have a team member who uploads the images on the computer. I have somebody else on staff do the preliminary culling of the images.
Okay.
Which I know a lot of photographers are like, whoa, you can't do that. I have challenged so many photographers to say, yes, you absolutely can. It is a way, if I go on a shoot, and I don't overly shoot compared to a lot of photographers, but if I go and I shoot 150 or so images, it's pointless for me to take the time to narrow those 150 images down to 40 that I'm going to actually show the client. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a little hard to let go of that at first, but what I realized is that, first of all, somebody else on your team can learn to adapt to what you want to represent to the client. They can learn that really quickly. I also think having a fresh set of eyes is really helpful. So I have somebody else cull through the images and narrow them down to from 150, maybe down to 40 or so. Then I go through and I look real quickly. I use Lightroom. Mm-hmm. Lightroom is a wonderful filtering system. So I'll real quickly look at what was rejected as well as what was not rejected. And I'll just make sure there was nothing that was rejected that I would bring in and vice versa. And I can almost tell you statistically in any given session, I might add back in one or two images that were rejected by my team member, but I look at it and I see something unique about, even if it's not a technically good photograph, I know the mom will want to have remembered that moment because I was there. So I would say I add maybe two, but I will probably take out an additional seven. There's almost, you know, because my team member who's culling through them plays it a little conservative, doesn't want to overly edit. So I'm a little more brutal. I'll go in and say, nope, not good enough, not good enough. So I'll usually add one or two that were taken out and take out more and on the end, but it's a huge savings of time. So once that's done, we do a crop and a color balance. I do not edit my images before showing them to a client. I don't think it's at all necessary. I don't think it's what sells somebody on your images. I think it's a tremendous waste of time. Very few industries, and I've said to photographers, if you go in to buy a custom piece of furniture, let's say you go to buy a sofa and you want it in a different fabric, they don't put the fabric on the sofa and then let you decide.
Very true.
Right. So you can, with your expertise and your strong suggestions and guidance of your client, they don't have to see exactly what they're going to get. So we do not do any editing prior to showing it to the client. I do all my sales, which I know shocks a lot of people, but I do all my sales remotely. And what that means, I know it's completely against industry standard. That's because everybody's doing it wrong. And you and I could do a whole workshop just on this, because I've done workshops on remote sales and I can probably change most people's opinion. Now here, I don't want to preface this. It's not necessarily right for everyone. It is 100% of the way I do it, but it's not necessarily right for everyone. But I think everyone should have the idea of remote sales in their pocket, because I think many clients, many market areas, you could do better if you offer more than one way to show your proofs. But let me qualify what I mean by remote sale. It's not online sales. So what I do is I create an online gallery.
Okay.
We create a beautiful video. So the client is, they're told, they know right from the beginning that this is the way it's going to go. And they love it and they appreciate it. So they know right from the beginning that after the session, I'm going to create an online gallery for them. They don't actually know about the video unless they worked with us before. The video is a little bit of a surprise, but they know after the session, within a week, we're going to create an online gallery, and that gallery will be available for them to enjoy for only 2 weeks. 2 weeks, it comes down.
Hmm.
We're very strict on that. And I tell my clients that. It's like, I'm a really nice guy, but this is the one part of my business is non-negotiable. And I said, and here's why. The reason it's non-negotiable is because it is my responsibility to make sure you get beautiful portraits. And I want to keep our production in line. And mm-hmm. I want to make sure that this doesn't fall on your long list of to-dos. So let me help you. And we're going to get this done in 2 weeks. And all my sales are within those 2 weeks.
That's a great strategy, by the way, just to break in, because I've talked to photographers and I've been in that place where you're waiting and you're waiting and a month goes by. And, you know, it almost seems like things can grow cold beyond the space of a couple weeks even.
Yeah. Well, what happens is nobody, you know, and I've tried everything else, and that's why I have such a strong opinion on this, because I've tried everything else and nothing else has worked. Mm. Penalties don't work. Discounts don't work. What works is truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is that it's our job to step up and help these clients to get what they came for. So, and I let them know that. It's like, I know how busy your life is. And if I don't see to it that this gets taken care of for you in the next 2 weeks, it's not going to get done. And they're like, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. So preparing them in that way, then everything after that is service, not pushiness. So when I'm following up with them and saying, hey, we need to get this scheduled, it will never feel pushy to them because they know I'm actually living up to my promise and commitment on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So we send off the gallery. The video goes, you know, they see the video first, which they probably don't know is coming. They watch this, of course, a beautiful video, takes them right into their proof gallery. We've sent them dates right then. Like, these are the dates that are available in the next 2 weeks for a screen share meeting. And almost every one of our clients immediately picks a date. So it's already on the books, on the calendar within the 2 weeks. And when the time comes, we do a screen share meeting, which means they're at their home. I'm in my office. We use GoToMeeting. They log on and I connect our computers and they sit back. It's just as if we're in person, except they have the convenience of being at home, not having to leave their home. They will have already shared the photographs with anybody that's important in the decision-making process. So they come to the phone fully prepared. We do a screen share meeting. They sit back. I use Lightroom for those presentations.
Mm-hmm.
You can use ProSelect or any of the other great services that are out there. And I'm with them. In fact, I have an e-guide, and anyone is welcome to this e-guide called Stay Present. It's about remote sales for photographers. And the reason it's called Stay Present is because that's the key, and that's what most people have done wrong. What they've done wrong is they've misinterpreted the idea, and they've put photographs online, and then just stepped away and said, okay, I'll just let the clients figure it out on their own. And then they're shocked when the client orders an 8x10 and a 5x7 because mm-hmm. that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People are going to order what they're familiar with. You need to stay present. So in this screen share meeting, you need to stay fully present with them and stay in your expertise and guide them. It's like, wow, this would make a beautiful 24x30 for over the mantle. We can crop it this way. How does that feel to you? Can you walk over to your mantle and take a picture of the wall for me real quick? Sure, no problem. Great. They send me the photograph. It's like, I can pop their photograph in there. It's like, how does that feel to you? That's awesome. Like, it's a productive meeting where I am fully present in their decision-making process, so that while they might have been thinking 8x10, 5x7, I'm opening up their world to the various possibilities of what they could choose.
Wow. Okay.
Just as you do in person. The most magical thing about this is that, and I often will suggest to photographers, no matter how you're doing your sales, let's say you're doing your sales in your gallery in person, the best thing you can do for yourself at some point is to get rid of the projection system and change it up. If you take away every tool, every technical tool that you have to make your sales, you're only left with one thing, which is your ability to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your strongest sales tool. Your strongest sales tool is what you say with your words and how you help someone make a decision. If you then choose to add those tools back in, the projection system, the media center, whatever, you're only strengthening that experience because you've learned how to communicate better with that client and how to step into your expertise and suggest what they should have. It's the best sales tool is your mouth.
Excellent. And even listening to you talk about this, your confidence really comes through. And I'm able to hear how crystal clear you are in how you communicate with your clients, as well as the step-by-step process. It seems like you know the step-by-step process like the back of your hand, which of course you should at this point. But I see so many photographers struggle with that, with what they're going to, how they're going to communicate after the photo shoot.
Yeah. What's interesting is, I thank you for observing that, because I tell you, this is the most exciting part of the process to me. I enjoy my screen share meetings more than I do the shoots.
Really?
Honestly, I love shooting and I love being on the beach, and I'm a spoiled brat because my clients bring me all over the place to beautiful places. And, you know, so I love that. But I have to say, I love the screen share meetings, which somebody else would call the sales appointment. I love it because I'm getting to help people get what they want. And I have to say, that to me is like, you know, I don't know, it's like having a little lady ask you to carry her groceries for you. Like, how can you not feel good about that? Right? So I really get jazzed about this appointment because I'm like, oh, what if we did this? And oh my gosh, isn't that one amazing, one of your child? Like, I get so excited. So that's where I think where the confidence comes from, because I'm like right there. Like I said, stay present. Like, I'm really excited to be supporting people and getting what they want and what they'll enjoy for their life.
And have you always been this way, or is it something that you've had to learn over time with the sales appointment especially?
I love, I've always been this way. Gosh, that sounds like my mother. Have you always been this way? Yes, I have, actually. I have. You know, it's just taken different forms. I mean, I have never, and again, I don't want to discredit the idea, I've never projected an image in my life. Like, even the film days, I showed my clients 4x5-inch proofs. And then when the industry went digital, I had a storefront, so I had back-to-back monitors. So we were kind of face-to-face. So I would show the images on the monitor, the client would be seeing the monitor on the other side. And that's when I realized, like, we don't even need to be in the same room to do that. And it would be so much easier for my clients to not have to deal with more appointments in their life, and which was becoming very obvious to me, that being a challenge, because people were starting to cancel their appointments more often. They were starting to not show up. I realized that the people I was serving, their lives had changed in a way that they were dramatically busier, and fitting the last thing they needed in their lives were more appointments. They were so busy. And here's what really stood out to me at one point. The final switch for me was, I'm in this business to support families and healthy families, and it's just something I personally value. And here I am making families more stressful by giving them more appointments and having parents leave their kids at home to come to see proofs because I required the husband and wives be together. They were coming in the evening, leaving the kids with a sitter or a nanny. I'm thinking, this isn't working. Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I'm supposed to be supporting family values. What can I do to help keep these families together and to not make this more stressful? And that's why once I was doing the back-to-back monitors, like, we don't need to be in the same room to do this.
So right? Did you get any pushback at all when you first started doing this?
None.
Wow. I mean,
here's the remarkable thing, and this is absolute truth. So I started doing this 10, 12 years ago, long before anybody was even talking about it. And no one I knew, no photographer I knew was doing anything remotely like this. So, but to me, it was going to solve a problem. And the problem in my business was becoming that sales were not becoming completed because people weren't showing up. People were canceling appointments. It was taking longer to get on calendars, you know, for my clients to get appointments, and nothing was working. So this was what I thought would be a solution. However, nobody else was doing it. So I had tremendous fear. And my fear was, as everyone else would, like, I'm going to put these images online and I won't be controlling the sales environment in the degree that I was used to having them in my studio. Of course, I'm afraid people are going to steal them. You know, all these fears. I said, well, the only way that I can put those fears to rest is to get enough money up front that if they never come back, if they don't place an order, that I'm not going to be thrilled, but I'm not going to freak out. Like, it's enough money to know that I can pay my bills.
Okay.
Right. So I established a deposit that was correct for my business, and that'll be different for every business, which was literally half of my average sale, because my average sale is quite high. But it was less than half, but enough that I figured, you know, if the craziest thing in the world happened where I kept shooting and shooting and putting things online and no one ever placed an order, that, you know, I would no longer need the store. There's a lot of things I wouldn't need, and I actually could still survive and feed my own family. Mm-hmm. So I created this deposit system, and I gave my clients a choice. They could come into the gallery as they always had, with at that point only having paid the session fee, or they had paid the session fee and now they can pay this additional deposit, which will apply entirely towards their order. And for that deposit, they had the added service of having an online gallery for 2 weeks and then a remote screen share appointment so that they don't have to come back in again. From the day I made that offer, and I can actually remember the very specific client the first time I got the guts to give the choice. From that point on, not one person ever stepped in my gallery to place an order again for 2 years.
Wow.
At which point I decided I did not need a storefront because I had been living in New York City for 4 years, commuting an hour from New York City to Connecticut where my storefront was.
Oh.
No one was coming. At this point, you know, I had given up consultations years earlier because it was too challenging for people to find time for consultations. Now they were no longer coming in to see their sales, so to see the proofs. The only thing they were coming in for was to pick up their portraits. And I'm like, well, I can home deliver the portraits and give them better service and save myself a whole bunch of rent. And I get to live in New York City. I can move my business to New York City where I was living. That's exactly what I did. So for literally from the day I gave the choice, no one came in for 2 years. And I decided that this was just pointless. So I changed it. I moved my business to New York City and went to my sales entirely remotely. And so I have, you know, of course, my business also built in New York City. So I have clients that are just blocks away from me, but we're still doing the remote sales.
Two things are really standing out to me here. First of all, you said that you would charge a deposit or have them put in a deposit. And it's so clear to me that you knew your numbers, which I think is something that creatives struggle with, or at least me. I'll say I know that I've struggled with that. But it sounds like you knew exactly how much you needed to survive on for food, mm-hmm. for your home, for even having the studio, where you knew that you'd have to give that up if you weren't getting a certain amount. And number two, it's clear that you were familiar with your customer, with what they needed, with their values. You said that you were trying to strengthen and support their family values, and you were able to help do that by giving them an option to stay at home and look at the photos with each other, or even involve their kids in the process and have them, you know, look at the photos and turn that into an event of its own.
Yeah. I have to say, if I had to, and I've been asked, like, you know, what is one personal characteristic that you think has meant the most to my success, mm-hmm. I would say it's empathy. One thing that, and I would encourage anyone, any entrepreneur and every photographer to really look at their empathy level. And what I mean by that is your ability to understand how the world looks from other people's shoes.
Mm.
I actually have an e-guide called In Their Shoes. And that particular e-guide is about marketing to the affluent clientele, because I didn't come from that. I came from lower middle class. I had no understanding of what it meant to market to an affluent client. I didn't understand their lifestyle.
Okay.
The reason I was successful in that marketplace is because as a 20-year-old, 22-year-old, well, throughout my whole life, to this day, it's still true, I go to great lengths to make sure I understand how the world looks from their point of view. It's not my world. I don't live their life. I don't need to live their life, but I understand their life. I understand their challenges. I understand their busy schedule. I understand what they value. And I've trained myself accordingly. I go into stores that they shop in that I can't afford to shop in, mm-hmm. but I go into those stores so that I can understand what they experience. I go to restaurants that they eat at so that I can understand the caliber of design, even of the way the restaurant's designed, how the menu's laid out, what do they appreciate? It's internal homework, all with the empathy of wanting to know what the world looks like from the point of view of those you want to serve. And society is always changing. You know, we have far less time in our lives today than we did 20 years ago, right? I mean, it's been interesting for me. I've been in the business so long, and 30 years ago, what people saw value in was having a lot of your time, right? My sessions were 3 hours long. People would invite me for lunch. Like, they saw value. My clients have always paid a lot of money. They've always paid a healthy investment, probably beyond what they thought they were going to. And what they saw as value for that money has changed. It used to be they saw having a lot of my time as valuable. Nowadays, I think you could charge a premium. And in some cases, I do. I do charge a premium in a way. I charge a deposit for the online gallery for their convenience, because people will pay a premium for you to make their life easier.
That's
by,
true.
By taking up less of their time. So the value of time has changed and will always change. So we have to be very sensitive to the way people's lives change. And at the core of empathy is if you can just a trust and belief that if you can be understanding of other people's needs, you will always win, particularly in business. If you put their needs first, you will always win, even if at the first it doesn't seem possible. Like, how could I possibly win by risking putting photographs online? Well, if it makes their life easier, you'll win.
You know, Jeffrey, even just listening to you talk, it really seems like you have everything figured out, which is why I made the previous comment, have you always been this way? And, you know, I think a lot of our listeners, at least a good chunk of them, are not where you are right now. So let's back things up just a little bit, and let's talk about when you first started running this business for yourself. Can you share with us what the most challenging aspect of it was when you first started out?
So I love that you're going there, and I think it's a great point. Now, I will tell you, as a coach, and I'm trained my initial training was in a particular type of coaching called coactive coaching. And the premise of coactive coaching is that we believe everyone that we work with is creative, resourceful, and whole. So I believe innately that everyone, every photographer is creative, resourceful, and whole, right? So you have all that you need. What seems like I might have unique characteristics, I do believe everyone has it. I also believe for a lot of us, the lid has been put on it, right? There's a way in which, you know, I call it the battle of the inner voice and outer voice. Like what strikes me really amazing about photographers is photographers are innately some of the most intuitive people you will ever meet. Mm-hmm. We capture images knowing the fraction of a second in which to release a shutter. I mean, your brain can't process the speed at which we know when to release the shutter. If it's not your brain, what is it? It's a gut instinct.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right? And yet when we start to try to build our businesses, we go to our head. The most innately and naturally intuitive people don't trust their intuition. They get insecure and they don't trust their intuition. So my challenge is for everyone is, can you trust your intuition that is already there because you are creative, resourceful, and whole? Can you trust your intuition and look inward towards there? That is what I think I did differently. It's what I had said earlier. Like when I look at, you know, why I was successful as a 22-year-old, I didn't face a lot of the challenges. And I think it was because I was really, you know, coming into business as a really shy individual. And to me, the outer world was pretty scary. If you can't trust the outer world, you're going to trust your inner world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's how most people, I think, can shift their dynamic. And I from a practical perspective, let me say this. Because we as photographers, as creatives, because we come from an industry where formal business training probably does not exist, we come out, we get ready to go out into the business world, and we look towards how other businesses do things. And as I was saying earlier, because they're selling things and we're not, we need to reframe how we need to be in business. Mm-hmm. And that's why people come to me, honestly. I mean, that's why you would hire a coach who specializes in this. So that's why you would seek out that type of information. So for example, let's take the idea of getting clients. Our job is not to go out and find clients. It seems like it is. It's actually not. Because especially in today's world, when you're marketing yourself, people take it very personal when you're coming at them. Mm-hmm. Right. We have to reverse that. We actually have to make what we do and who we are and what we stand for and what we have to offer. We have to make that so clear, like it's a beacon of light. We have to make our website, the messaging on our website, so clear. We have to use social media and SEO and, you know, interviews. We have to use every top of the funnel thing we can think of to get people to come into our world, be that through a website or whatever. We have to get them there so that they see our core message, because that's the beacon of light. So you're not finding people. You're doing everything you can to call them forward.
So you're attracting them to you, in
yes.
a sense. Yes.
I often equate it to the game of hide and seek. All right. When you're in business marketing yourself, we actually are the kid hiding behind the tree, right?
Mm, okay.
We're not the kid with his head down counting to 10 and then running out and finding clients or finding the other people. We're actually the person behind the tree. And if we're really clever, we've laid out a bunch of breadcrumbs right to where we're standing.
Interesting.
The breadcrumbs and all that, that's your marketing. Right. So assume you're hidden. Assume the world doesn't know that you're there, and figure out how you can help people find you, how you can make your message clear, how you can make what you do as a photographer even slightly different than what the photographer down the road is doing. Mm-hmm. So that, because your clients are going to do their research, they're going to have choice. They have choice. So you have to help them figure out why they would choose you. You have to make what you value and what value propositions you have. You have to make that very clear to someone so that they would choose you despite logic, even. Like, I know I'm going to pay more here, but I'm going to go here because this feels right to me. Because mm-hmm. we all know that experience. I mean, haven't you ever bought something that you paid a little bit more because you just know that it was the right decision?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even attracting the right client to you, that would make your life easier in general as far as running your business, because you're dealing with the type of person that you get and the type of person that gets you. And I would think that they would be more loyal as well.
Exactly. I think, you know, when it comes to brand image, a really carefully crafted brand image and a very clear outgoing message is both a beacon of light and a filter. It calls forward the people that get you, and the people that don't get you, don't value what you have, hopefully won't show up.
Oh man, I'm over here writing as much as I can for the show notes, but also for my own benefit. This is awesome. This is really great. You know, Jeffrey, next let's talk about the lessons that you've learned over the years. And I know we've touched on this a bit throughout the interview, but are you able to pinpoint to us what was a mistake that you made yourself way back in the day, or just a common mistake that you see photographers make in general?
Well, certainly the first big mistake I made was not knowing that you can't create any business anywhere. So when I got out of photography school, I went back to my hometown because that's what I was familiar with, and realized that, you know, even then, although my prices were dramatically less than they are now, but even then they were high end for that area. And my message of family portraits that you would enjoy for a lifetime meant nothing to people who were struggling to meet their mortgage that month.
Mm-hmm.
Lifetime is not on their radar.
Right? So true.
So, you know, after a couple of years of fighting that battle, I was like, I'm in the wrong place. So you have a choice. Do I want to change to the market area, or do I want to change the market? And I chose to change the market because innately I couldn't change my values. I mean, I really believe so much in the value of why one needs to have photography in their life, that there was no way I could suddenly make that cheap and accessible. So I had to change it up and I had to find the people that valued what I had to offer. And this is one of my core tenets, if you will, is that it's not our job to prove our value to anybody. Our job is to be found by the people that value what we do, right? So
definitely,
I found the community that valued what I did. I found a community that was affluent enough that they do think about long-term. They have the life insurance and things that, like I said, the environment I grew up in, we didn't plan that far ahead because it was, you were worried about getting by. So that was a big lesson. But to this day, and here's what I'll offer your listeners as well, anytime something doesn't work for me, I call it the three M's, M as in Mary. It's one of the three M's. It's either the market, the money, or the message.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. So I actually have a sticky note on my computer that it's just the three M's. I mean, that's what it says. Because anytime something doesn't work, and this is true for me in my coaching practice as well as my photography business, I always look at, well, why didn't it work? It's always one of those three. It's either the market, meaning you're barking up the wrong tree.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or it's the money which honestly is probably the least frequent reason. Everyone wants to blame that first, but it's usually the least frequent reason, you know, but it could be, is what I'm offering completely out of alignment with the market as far as money? And then the last is message. And it's almost always the message. It's almost always the way I've said something, the way I've offered it didn't work. And that to me, I think, is the ultimate. The longest journey, and this is one of the core foundations of how I help my coaching clients change their frame of mind to go from barely getting by, or, you know, struggling to get by, to actually having successful businesses. It's because the longest journey when you are marketing yourself, your talent, and you're a creative person, the longest journey is figuring out how to say things in a simple way.
Mm-hmm.
You ask any photographer what they do for a living, and they'll go on and on and on and on. Any creative person.
It's true. It's true.
The messaging for us is the most challenging thing, and it should be. And here's why. From a purely logical standpoint, creativity resides on the right side of the brain. Language resides on the left. They just don't get along, right? So it is inherently difficult to put words to what you're most passionate about. right? Unless you're able to kind of switch the gear and be in kind of a logical mode, or you work with a coach, or you work with someone else to mirror back to you. And that's usually what I recommend when it comes. That's when I do branding work with my clients. I make it very clear. My role right now is to be your logical side of the brain. I want to hear all your woo-woo. I want to hear your why, your purpose. It's all beautiful stuff poured on me. And then I will be the logical side of the brain to say, how can we say that in 3 to 7 words?
And, you know, I think because it can be so difficult to articulate that the woo-woo-ness, if you want to call it that, or that gut in your belly. I know for years I grew up, and whenever I did art as far as drawing and painting before I got into photography, and there's just, I would feel that tingling in my belly, and I had no way to describe it. And so I think that with it being so difficult to put it into words, it's easy for other people to kind of write it off as a woo-woo thing. Yeah. And then it can make you kind of shut into yourself and shut down. And I think a lot of people need that courage. It really takes courage to step out on your own, especially when you're involved in something creative and trying to make a business out of that. Some people may need permission. I mean, that's not always the case. It sounds like you especially, I don't know if you're an anomaly or what, but you, like you said, you trusted yourself more than the rest of the world, and you instinctually went with your gut. But I know it can take people years and years, and it breaks my heart when I talk to, I have a friend whose their parent is a creative mind, and he's worked for decades in a job that he just can't stand, and he's kind of pushed down his creative self for decades, you know. Well, he had a family to support and everything, but it's kind of like he's leaving an essential part of himself by the wayside. Yeah. And that just breaks my heart.
Me as well. I mean, that's why I'm coaching creatives, because I mean, I, in the simplest form, talk about a few words. People say, well, you know, what's your purpose? Why do you do this? Are you coach? And my answer is, our world needs creative people. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's the creative people that transform our world, make it a better place, who care about it being more beautiful when they leave it than when they came into it, that care about it being a healthier world when they leave it than when they came into it. Like, who are the most, those are the most beautiful souls. And business is a vehicle to get the work out there. And that usually also is a switch when people get committed, because so many creatives hate the business side. Mm-hmm. And it's like, your business is your vehicle for you to keep giving your gifts. The most painful thing in the world for me is seeing someone super talented give up, because then no one's getting the gifts.
Right.
And here's I think the most inspiring thing for me, and you can't help but hold Oprah Winfrey up as the perfect human. I mean, I really think she is, because she represents those people that, I mean, she's so on purpose. She had a purpose and a mission, which she innately knew in her gut, and she stuck by it, and she became a success, allowed her to become a better person. Mm-hmm. Right. So when people come into their own, when they come into their businesses with a passion and a purpose and driven, you know, and you have to be, because no one wakes up in the morning and thinks, I'm going to become a photographer because that's the road to riches. Like, it's not, right? There's no logical reason to be a photographer. So mm-hmm. there's such passion underneath that. What I know of that individual is when they get successful, they're actually going to become even better people, even more amazing. They're likely to... You know, I've had photographers, some of my photography clients have built foundations because their business got prosperous enough that they could give money to foundations.
Wow.
Right? They That's become awesome. Passionate and purpose-driven people become more passionate and more purpose-driven. They don't become creeps. Creep in, creep out, right? Right. So that's my passion. That's why we need creatives to have successful and sustainable businesses, because when they get out of getting by, they actually give more.
This is really motivating. I absolutely see why you are a coach. Wow. And now tell us, Jeffrey, was there anything that you wished you knew before you stepped into this professionally, as far as photography goes?
Wow. That's a great question.
It's deep, right?
And I get interviewed all the time. No one has ever asked that. Is there something I wished I knew? You know, I have to say my honest answer is I'm glad I didn't know. Right? I mean, because if mm-hmm. I knew how difficult it would be, maybe I would have gone to school for 6 years to be an architect like Mike Brady. Like, you know, I mean, I'm glad I didn't know that. I'm glad I didn't know what it actually takes is more inner work than outer work.
Okay.
I could never have known that. I mean, because I guess I'm not afraid of the hard work. I'm a super hard worker. In fact, I would say being a hard worker has been one of my biggest detriments because I solve problems by working harder instead of slowing down sometimes and doing the inner work. Like, why is all this bad stuff showing up? Why am I having a problem? Like, you know, if I go back to before remote sales, when it seemed like all my clients were canceling their appointments and not showing up and I couldn't make any money and I was scared and was like, I'm able to support my family. And, you know, it's the moments like that that you need to stop and say, what is the universe trying to tell me? What's the inner learning here?
Mm-hmm.
So when you are in business marketing yourself and it's your talent that you're offering the world, it's more of a personal journey than anything. And in a way, maybe it's best to not have known that in the beginning, because I don't know that I would have taken it on. It would have seemed a little scary. But hey, once you're there and you're in it, it is an I actually credit my photography career entirely for my personal growth, because it was, what better lab is there than the rapidness by which you meet people, you experience things, good and bad, and every situation and every client has caused me to stretch, to grow. So I'd say that's been the biggest learning lesson that I could never have known going into this.
Very good answer. That's interesting. And I think that's true for many of us. I know if I had known everything I'd have to go through, and I mean, I'm still going through it. We're all works in progress as it is. You know, I wonder if I would have stepped into this, you know, if I would have decided to go to art school. And it really is a learning journey, and you really just take it step by step and learn as you go.
Yeah, it is. As I said, that's where the name Creative Warriors came from, and why I'm, you know, kind of building a community. It started as the podcast, but the podcast has grown to a point where we now have an online coaching program called the Creative Warrior Unleashed. We're launching a Creative Warriors Mastermind in the fall. We're in a couple of weeks launching a new website called Creative Warriors Unite, because I'm trying to bring all the modalities of the spirit of Creative Warriors. I'm trying to bring them into one home of Creative Warriors Unite. And, you know, again, I could never have known when I named my podcast that, how much the idea would resonate for people, that they really understood the essence of what that it takes, the spirit of a warrior to be in business for yourself.
And you know, that actually brings us to our next question. Is there a particular photography resource or tool, online course, coaching program that you'd like to recommend to our listening audience today?
Well, of course there's my own, but that seems really, but what the heck,
you right? Can go ahead, go right ahead, please.
So, yeah, the Creative Warrior Unleashed is my baby right now. And it's currently actually, I started it last fall. We've run two groups through it live. It's a 7-week, it's a 7-module training program. So I first did it live with two different groups for 7 weeks. And then we're currently at a hold pattern, taking a waiting list, which is building rapidly. And then next month, relaunching it as an online go at your own pace program, so people can, instead of having people do it all at once, this way people can join the program and join the community at any time that's right for them, and then they have 6 months to complete the 7 training modules. This, to me, the Creative Warrior Unleashed, is actually, this is my answer to the problem. The problem is that in our industries, there's no business education. The Creative Warrior Unleashed is the business information for creative business owners. It's not all photographers. We have all different modalities of creative people. But this is, and it's an interesting process, because it actually starts with a lot of inner work and then it results in very practical business skills and practices. I mean, I even teach like 10 best business practices. We go into website design. We go into brand development. So it actually follows the pattern which I experienced over my 30 years in business, and it follows the pattern which my one-to-one clients work with over a whole year. This is kind of a condensed version, that this pattern of doing the inner work first, getting clear on your direction and what you stand for, and then executing it into actionable steps for results.
And that's creativewarriorunleashed.com?
The creativewarriorunleashed.com. Yeah. And we're currently, right now, up until probably mid-July, it'll be ready to refire up. Right now, we have a button there that you can sign for the waiting list, which, by the way, it also says anybody on the waiting list is going to get a significant discount, because we appreciate your patience. So if there's ever time to get on the waiting list, it's now.
Excellent. We will definitely include that link in the show notes.
Yeah, because to answer your question with, you know, level of sincerity, I actually don't have, that's why I created this, because it's such a lacking that I couldn't otherwise answer the question. I can't say to you, oh, go to this blog or go to this website. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful things. mean, Creative Live is a fantastic resource.
Definitely.
So let's not disregard that. I mean, Creative Live is a fantastic resource for all, you know, whether it's for equipment, technical sides of photography, and business. So there's fantastic people on Creative Live. But I felt that there needed to be a very specific program on business and branding that would help the people in business. And that's why I created this program, because I do think it's otherwise it's lacking out there.
Well, you know, I appreciate your honesty. You know, that's the reason why I ask this question. And I always hope that, you know, people would answer in an honest way and give a resource that would genuinely help our listeners. So thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And our final question of the interview, but definitely one of the most important, tell us where we can find you online.
So I hesitate because right now that's an interesting question. Well, first of all, join the podcast. So the podcast is in iTunes, Stitcher. The podcast is Creative Warriors. Search for it in iTunes and subscribe. And this is the one that I have no problem pitching that because it's free. It's the most amazing content. I am blown away by the amazing guests that I have. I just love the people I interview, and many of them are authors. I've been very fortunate to have tons of authors come on the show, and we have a huge following. So authors love to sell their books by coming on the show. I hand select every single guest. Every one of them I have decided is fit for the show, whether we have found them or they found us, based on my avatar. You know, anyone listening to this show, like, I know who you are. Like I said, my strength is empathy. I spend so much time understanding my avatar that I choose the guest based on how you're going to be best served. You'll be inspired, you'll be motivated, and you'll get specific action steps you can apply in your business. Love my podcast because the guests are amazing and it's free. So go to Creative Warriors and iTunes, sign up for that. My blog, which is blog.jeffreyshaw.com, is the current home of the podcast, as well as I have a lot of free e-guides. One e-guide actually I want to recommend is, because I think it'll really particularly apply for your audience, is 8essentialelements.com. 8essentialelements.com. Free download, free ebook. These are the 8 things that I think you need to be successful. Plain and simple. And it actually comes with a self-assessment test. So you can see what you're strong in and what you're weak in. That's brand new. That's only been out a couple months and has done extremely well. And then a month from now, we'll have the new website, Creative Warriors Unite, where we can hopefully, because I said my coaching practice has grown rapidly. So we wound up being a little more splintered than I'd like. And that's the whole point of Creative Warriors Unite, is to bring it all together. So warriors have one home to go to for everything that will help them succeed in their businesses.
Exciting times for you.
I'm having a ball. I mean, it's crazy. I'm 51 years old, been in business more than 30 years, and having the best time of my life. It's like, who would have thought? Like, when I went into business at 20, I mean, of course, at that age, 50 was really old, right? And I thought I'd be quieting down. The big surprise to me is I'm just getting started.
Oh, good stuff. You know, just thank you so much, Jeffrey, for chatting with us. This has been a really motivating talk. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty pumped up, too. It's stuff I love to talk about, and you're a delight and cheerful, and this has really been a pleasure for me as well. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Are you getting ready for your first photo shoot and need to learn some common mistakes to avoid? Or maybe you need to learn how to communicate with your clients and grow your business through email marketing. Or perhaps you're just getting started with your website and you're trying to figure out this WordPress hosting stuff. When you're in business for yourself, it's a lifelong learning process for sure. And that's why I've set up the Pro Photographer Journey Resource Center. You can learn all of this and more through my free and paid self-paced online courses. Each course focuses on these individual topics and is designed to hold your hand every step of the way and help you learn how to run your business more successfully. You'll also find a host of other tools in the Resource Center that are useful for running your photography business, many of which I use myself. From email marketing tools to forming an LLC for your business to cool image editing software, it's there. And wherever possible, I include coupon codes to these online services so that you can grab a discount. So check it out at prophotographerjourney.com/resource-center. That's prophotographerjourney.com/resource-center.